We will be going dipping back into the budget in August, looking at finding that 200 plus $1,000 where we what cuts we need to make in order to.
Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was a town council meeting last Wednesday, a rather long one, and we've had a couple of schedule changes, but Tom Mercer and I are getting together to do our town council quarterbacking thing. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, I'm trying to stay cool in these challenging times. The weather's up one day and rainy the next, and who knows?
Yeah, you just don't know. It's been a crazy last couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, and we're still in the summer, so
Yeah.
fasten your seatbelts.
Yeah.
All right, so for the new listeners, we're focusing on two questions. Okay, what just happened? That was a 4-hour, almost 5-hour meeting. And what does it mean for us Franklin residents and taxpayers? And for the regular folks, you're familiar with this, so just fasten your seatbelts and we'll get going. So you started off with one of the swearing-ins, the fire department doing a backfill for an existing position.
Right. And again, just emphasizing for people that this was not a an additional appointment. This was backfilling an existing position. And we're happy to swear in new firefighter paramedic Jeffrey Walcott, who comes with multiple years of experience. And we welcome him to our team and look forward to many good things.
I think he even delivered a baby, what, 2 weeks prior?
Yes. He was in the back of an ambulance. Yep.
Good experience.
For
Absolutely.
sure.
Yes. And I think, unless something else happens between now and then, we know we're going to have one more opening at some point when the chief steps down.
Correct.
And then moved into the annual reappointments and new appointments of boards and committees. And while it was a fairly healthy list, there are still some minor ones apparently hanging out. It'll come up in the next meeting, I believe.
Yes, there's a few that just had to be finalized, but we wanted to make sure we got the majority of them in place. So, again, these are appointments made by the town administrator that are ratified by the town council. I think there's maybe four positions that are still to be ratified.
Right.
I've been appointed, but still need to be ratified.
And we'll just put a plug in that people certainly can still apply. Things do happen from time to time. Life changes, board members step down, things happen. So if you've got your name in the hopper, then at some point in time it may come up.
Absolutely. And we appreciate everybody's willingness to step forward and give of their time to the community.
Correct. Then you had two technical transitions, actually one new all alcohol license. Apparently there's a new Asian fusion restaurant going in where Hang
Hang
Tai
Tai,
had
yeah, in
been.
the middle of right on East Central Street there. So, yes, that's Hang Tai. I guess the folks retired and sold the restaurant to these other folks that are opening a nice Asian fusion restaurant. So something different, and we were there to approve the transfer of the liquor license. So
Right.
that's what we did the other night.
Yep. And don't know exactly when it's going to reopen. Apparently, they've still got some inspections and some renovations to be completed before the inspections are done. So,
Correct.
yep, stay tuned. The other one was a move, not a long move, but from the back of the building to the front of the building for a little shop of olive oils.
Yeah, usually the moves are a little longer or further away, but this just happened to be anytime there's a change of location, regardless of how large or small, we do have to approve the transfer of location. So we approve the transfer of location for little shop of olive oils from the back of the building to the front of the building. So I'm sure they're happy about being right on Main Street. So that's a great thing.
And with a little bit more space too. I mean, they were
Yes.
chock-a-block where they were in the back, so maybe they'll be able to add some more. Who knows?
Yeah, let's hope.
Yes. And then you got into a lengthy session on various legislative items. So, and first one up, at least in the order that you took them. Community preservation. Now, prior meetings, one or two times ago, you did the rest of the CPC approval for the funding, but you held this one aside legitimately because of the extensive discussion and potential around the nature of the community, the preservation. In this case, the United Methodist Church getting some capital funding for the exterior preservation.
Yes, and there was a lengthy discussion at the CPC as well. I would say to folks, if there's anyone out there that's interested in that discussion, the lengthier discussion went on at the CPC meeting. But there was good discussion at the council meeting, but most of the councilors had listened and reviewed the CPC discussion and meeting and felt comfortable. You know, there's always that fine line between church and state, and this was a case of where it's a good use of the money. It's a historical building. It's the law. Excuse me. It's the oldest continuously running church within the community.
Within the same
And
building.
we're talking about the building, sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the council, and where it's right next to our historical museum, right on the main street, West Central Street, but really right in the center of town. I think the council felt it was a good project to fund through CPC. And again, there are many different opportunities for, the CPC funding. Some are private, some of can be
Nonprofits. Yep.
many nonprofit organizations, can be churches as well. But this is totally the exterior of the building, and none of the dollars will be used for any religious piece. In other words, the cross that's on the outside of the building is not part of this funding. This is basically funding for the steeple and the outside. And I know there may be some out there, and I spoke to it at the very end of the discussion, concerned about, there are many churches out there that are struggling with, number of parishioners, not to say the least, that this is one that has not a lot of parishioners on a weekly basis. But what is the mechanism for us as a community to protect our investment in that building? And I wanted to make sure that it was on record that everybody understood that we do have protection, as it's a deed restriction that will go on that building to protect the town if, in fact, something were to happen and the church were be sold for whatever the reason. We do have protection, so I thought that was an important piece to discuss and review.
Yeah, and that's where to the process and the timeline, that's going to be further down the road. Clearly, you just did the approval so they can move forward. The actual invoices will be submitted to the town to confirm they pay it from the appropriate CPC fund, so the church doesn't actually get the money. And
Right.
then down the road, there'll actually be that additional documentation around the preservation, which needs to be filed with the Registry of Deeds, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the start of a longer process, similar to
Yes.
what's already been underway with the Old South Meeting House.
Exactly.
And then you got into a friendly 40B on 202 Washington Street. And this one was relatively simpler because this one was housing that is more of a condo complex as opposed to apartments.
Yes, this is a piece, it's right after you go over 495, headed out of town on the left-hand side, and it's the old part of the old Restaino property, and it's 37 condo units, and it's a 40B, but it's for sale, and the starting price we have been told is going to be on the very low side of anything we've heard. We heard something in the 300s where they may start, which is really the kind of project that we need in the community for housing. And there was one or two people that were. Had questions about the project,
Correct.
and I thought they did a pretty good job of addressing some of the concerns, along with some of the other concerns are things that will be that they will have an opportunity to speak to and discuss when they go before the ZBA for that part of what they need to do in order to get this project through.
Right. So your approval was just kind of a town stamp saying it sounds great. You still have to go through the process. People can still question. There may be some mitigations based upon this idea or that, issue, et cetera. But what you did was at least say, it sounds great. Let's go forward. The details will still need to be worked. And I think even the attorney, when asked, how soon this would happen, he hesitated to say because it depends, 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 right? And that's absolutely correct.
Yes, without question, it does depend. There's so many other things that need to happen. This the approval of the council is just approving the for sale 40B. Is this a good project for the town? We felt it was. We voted in support of the project, and now they have to go through all of the other permitting processes, being Zoning Board of Appeals and so forth. And they
Right.
still have to go through the state to get final approval from them.
So it's the start of the process. And then in the next three items were effectively residential commercial kitchens. And yes, you had done a commercial kitchen bylaw previously, but the more for the downtown area. So this is in the residential area. But effectively, the three pieces are simply referring to the planning board for their review hearings. And then it comes back to you at some point in time.
Exactly. And again, these are just we taking a very the EDC has worked very hard in putting these different projects together. This happens to be there's as you said, there's so many pieces, there's four or five pieces of this rezoning that we referred it to the planning board. The planning board will now review, look at, and debate through it, and then it'll come back to the council with a recommendation from the planning board, and then at that point we would either vote approval or not.
Yeah, and I think the other key piece for the folks to be aware of, this only affects those housing units in the residential area that are on a septic system. which, based on the discussion, was like one third of the total community's on septic.
Right.
So it's a small area, it's not going everywhere.
It is very small, very small. So, again, this is something the EDC has, and we've heard from the community that people are looking to start businesses and whether, they're able to start small, either in their homes or whatever, which is what we had proved before. They were the sewer part, and now we just took it to the next step and approved the people that are on septic systems having that same opportunity.
Right. And then you, after a brief break, and I forget exactly the order, but the adoption of the Local Initiative Program, LIP, otherwise known as a friendly 40B policy. You already had, as I understood it, a internal process, but this would be more of a council level policy, and effectively prohibiting future apartments. And that got rather debatable.
Yeah, it was. And I will be totally upfront and say I went in there thinking one thing and I came out thinking something else. As I do agree, I think we're topped out on apartments, so to speak, within these 40Bs. There was discussion about, a couple of projects, Stobitz being one, Grove Street being another. Then there was discussion about the one by St. John's Church
Sure.
on Pleasant Street,
And
and
Franklin Ridge.
how, yeah, and how what a really good project that one was or is as it moves forward, and really to a much greater degree, more affordable for the community. Well, if we'd have passed the legislation that was in before us, and again, this is one man's opinion, just this is just my opinion. If we'd have passed that, and let's say another 40B came in similar to that one around St. John's that we thought was a really good project, we wouldn't get an opportunity to hear it.
Right.
So that's when I kind of flipped a little bit and said, well, wait a minute, let's go back to the drawing board and come up with a policy that does restrict that big project that we really don't want as apartments, but yet allow us the flexibility to at least hear if there's a really good one that comes forward. So I've asked the planning department and the EDC to work together to try and come up with a policy that does what we really are looking to do, which is restrict apartments, but at least give us the opportunity to hear if there's a good one coming forward.
Yeah, I concur. I think part of, and I've been waiting for kind of the policy review because I know it came up a couple of times, certainly after the Stobarts piece was introduced, certainly after the 121 Grove was introduced. And from my point of view, this only partially addresses some of the issues of those processes. So I'm certainly fostering further discussion around it because, as proposed, it would have handicapped us. It would not have solved the whole problem we have.
Exactly.
So,
Exactly.
yeah, more on that to come.
Yes.
And then while we talk about zoning in bunches, you had, I think it was six items around the Crossing Neighborhood District, which yeah, okay, it's a lot. So you got a definition, you got a sizing, you got use tables, da, 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 da. And effectively, what they're trying to do, as I understand it, is to create a new district called the Crossing Neighborhood, effectively take this commercial downtown district and, with a couple of minor modifications, lay it on that new district to continue to economically grow the area. but being mindful of the character of the existing area. I mean, it is one of the older sections of town, and you've got limited parking, et cetera, so you couldn't just take this downtown and just say, let's go here.
No, you couldn't. But the development of that section, which is really walking distance from downtown, and in the past, back when I was growing up, there was a grocery store down there. There was a liquor store. There was it was a little bit more of a what you might look at is a very small piece of the center down there.
Well, it's
And I
truly a
think with
neighborhood to
the,
that extent.
yeah. And I think with the Children's Museum going down there, with the SNET Trail coming into that area, I think it's really very thoughtful on behalf of the EDC. Along with some of the community and the planning department, our administrative team, to look at that area and let's look and see what we can do with making it a little bit easier for businesses and so forth to open up down there. So mixed use kind of things. The only real issue is there really isn't a parking lot down there. So that the parking piece is something that they're working on and is part of this proposal. It's a little bit different than what the downtown zoning is. So again, we referred all of those to the planning board and they'll review and come back with a recommendation to the full council, and we'll take it on from there.
We'll come back again to it for sure. And then two other items, actually, second approvals on the EV charging stations. So we're now, instead of having just kind of the free charging, people will actually have to pay to get their EV units charged.
Exactly. And again, it's similar to what you're seeing more and more of out there, which is a station where you just put your click your credit card and it's judged. You pay on kilowatt hours so that they're really are this the free charging stations aren't really they're going away.
Yeah, I think technically Jamie mentioned, I think there's one or two, maybe three, there's a few number of the very original units that apparently will need to get upgraded at some point in time because they
Yes.
can't handle the charging piece, actually
Correct.
the credit card charging
Credit
side of
card piece. Yeah,
it.
exactly.
But
Exactly.
the rest of it, the
So,
charging, they can still do. So, yeah, people will want to find out where those are eventually.
Sure.
And then you had a good piece as well with the acceptance of gifts.
Yeah. Again, I continue to thank the community, our residents, businesses, our corporations, for the generosity to the local groups that, whether it be the senior center, veteran services, fire department, police department, recreation, all of those departments continuously benefit from the generosity of our community. And I just can't say thank you enough. Those, even those $25, those $50, $100, they all add up. The generosity just from our community is overwhelming. And I really appreciate that. And I think everybody needs to know that they continue to support our different groups.
Yep, we concur on the thanks. The community is giving when it needs to be, and that's definite on a recurring basis. And then in Jamie's administration report, there's a couple of key items that I think are worth sharing, and you probably will agree on this as well. He and Mark, our attorney Mark Sorella, looking at some alcohol license handling options. I know that's been one of
Yes.
your pet peeves to a certain
It
extent.
has been one of my pet peeves. And they finally got the message. And they're looking into what options there might be for us. It just it's been a problem for as long as I've been on the council.
Right.
The times gets personal, and really, that's really an ABC. As far as I'm concerned, it's an ABCC job,
Yeah.
and they should be doing all of it. But again, that's one man's opinion, mine.
Right.
I
Well,
do
and
think other people share my feelings, because sometimes when you get into a community, then it gets a little bit too personal, you know.
yeah, and as an observer for the many years that I've been doing this, I concur at least on, I'm not sure it's totally appropriate for you. I understand certainly we need to know as a community what's happening, who's coming in, who's moving, who's changing. Those are all valid. We need to know something about those. But it also asks you as council members who are generally in an oversight role, all of a sudden to shift and put on a hat where you're a judge and jury at the same time. I'm not sure that's really appropriate, which is really where ABCC should do with the legal expertise, et cetera. With all due respect to Mark and his what he brings to the table, I'm not sure as a council you're really prepared to do that on a regular basis.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. And I concur. So that's a good piece as far as I'm concerned that they're working on. I hope they find the right avenue that will work for the council as well as the community.
Right. So stay tuned for that. Jamie didn't say specifically when, but it was coming. So unfortunately, there will be some the state budget when it finally got approved. There was another 200 grand that from local aid we did not get. So there'll be some other financial discussions coming, I guess, to FinCom and then to
That was
council in August.
disappointing to get that information, but we will be going dipping back into the budget in August, looking at finding that 200 plus $1,000 where we what cuts we need to make in order to level fund the budget. So,
Right.
more to come on that. More discussion for sure. So,
And then two bittersweet announcements where two well-respected people who've been here for a bit now have happy opportunities to go elsewhere and, oh, by the way, closer to their families. So Raelene Gallivan will be leaving at some point, and Amy Frigoletti will also be leaving.
yes. And bittersweet for both. Raelene, we hate to lose her. She's been a valuable part at the senior center for a very long time. So we wish her well and hope everything goes exactly how she hopes it's going to go moving forward. And obviously, in the same vein, Amy Frigoletti, Deputy Town Administrator. She's added a lot to our administrative team. I really have appreciated working with her. And she's getting married in the fall, and they have a place in Yarmouth. And it just so happened. It wasn't like she was looking, but the deputy town administrator job opened up in Yarmouth. And so she threw her hat in the ring, and obviously they saw what kind of individual she is, what she can bring to the table, and they hired her. So we certainly wish her well, not having that 2 hour commute, depending upon the time of year, plus or minus, an hour each way, being able to drive down the street 5 minutes away. There's something to be said for that, as we all well know.
For
But
sure.
we wish Amy well, and we thank her for all she's brought to the table here in Franklin, and we will miss her.
Yep. And I think we'll still see her for a little bit before she
Yeah,
steps away,
till
but yeah.
October, I think, is the a departure date, so to
Right.
speak.
Yeah. But then there'll also be new hiring, and hopefully we'll
Yes.
find some equally qualified candidates.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that was not 4 hours and 40 minutes or so. That was about 30. So thank you for helping to condense that long session.
Well, thank you for helping me condense
It
it.
does take two to tango, especially on something like this, for sure.
Yes, it does, for sure.
And then you've got a meeting in August, and I suspect since it's the only one in August, you might have a longer agenda, although it might hopefully not be as long.
Yeah, hopefully not, but we will have an executive session for at that agenda. So not quite sure how that's going to fall, beginning or end, but more to be more to come, so to speak.
As we get
And
closer
just
to
a
the agenda.
message to our listeners that again, I did adjust the time starting time for the August meeting to 6 o'clock. So, and I think that's a really good thing for the July and August meetings. Having them start at 6 gives us a little more flexibility at the end, and plus it gets people home a little earlier.
Yeah, and I think we also should be mindful of and continue your thanks to Councilors DeLarco and Hamblin for coming back to the session instead of participating remotely and forcing a roll call vote on all of those things.
That's exactly right. And I can't thank Melanie and Bobby enough for driving up from vacation from the Cape so that we did not have to have a roll call vote. And if, as you have heard today and saw on the agenda, there were many, many votes that would have had to have been
Would have
roll
been
call,
at least a dozen.
including the
So,
waiving of the readings.
yes.
Those would have had to have been roll calls. So,
Right. So there are just offhand a dozen. There's two dozen right then
yeah,
and there. So,
exactly.
and they're needed. And clearly, when somebody has to be away and still participate, they're needed. But in this case, whether it was amenable and they could come in, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
For sure, for sure.
All right. We'll continue to thanks. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day, and
Yeah.
we'll come back together again in August.
Sounds good, Steve. Thank you for having me.
All right. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. Stay tuned. There's more coming. And we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.